we say good morning to everyone. And welcome this morning to our worship service here at Highland Heights. And if you're visiting with us, we want you to know that we've assembled. As I was sitting there this morning, I just want to thank the brothers this morning that have served thus far. Amen? And the orderly and the neatness by which we are conducting things in honor of God. Amen?
Amen?
And so if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we want you to know that we've assembled in Acts 2:42, scripture that's there before you, that we've assembled, that we worship God as they did on Acts. We find in the second chapter, the Bible lets us know that they did five acts of worship. The Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. And so far this morning, we have conducted four of those acts in the sense that we have fellowship is when we give to the Lord as the Lord has blessed us with. Also, we participate in communing with the Lord. As the brother said this morning, our minds ought to go back and reflect back what we can read in Scripture, what Jesus did for us by being crucified on that cross. We also have prayed to God that we want God to understand and to hear us as we pray to him. And then the Bible lets us know the apostles' doctrine. We're going to go and look at the word of God on this morning. And then verse number 47, the Bible tells us, thank our brother for leading us. We praise God, not with mechanical instruments. Yeah, no, and we are the congregation that sings praises to God. And the Bible says, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So I want to say to you this morning, if you're here this morning and you've not obeyed the Lord according to the scripture, and I'll share with you at the close of my message what one must do in order to become a Christian. We'll find in the text this morning, you are living in a distance away from the Lord. Amen? But we have to obey the Lord in order for the Lord to be pleased with us. And so this morning, we want to speak from that text this morning. We're looking at our subject this morning. Paul wrote to Titus, be careful to maintain good works. The Apostle Paul is coming to the close of this letter to Titus, the preacher. And he wanted to end this letter with words from the Holy Spirit that offered motivation to the Christian. So this message is designed that it motivates you as you are a Christian. As Paul said to them, to be careful to maintain good works. And so this message this morning, even though it's written to Titus for the congregation, there is an individualness about this message that I want each of us, including myself, to look at this message, and may it do for you what Paul designed for it to do for those that were in Crete that were Christians. Paul, I'm going to start at verse number 7 because that's where, when he said this is a faithful saying, he said in verse number 7 of Titus 3, he said that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, each of us that have obeyed the gospel and become a Christian, we've been justified by the grace that God has shown us. Yeah, we've justified. In other words, we stand in a righteous state with God because of our obedience to God. And Paul wanted those Christians to know as he closed his letter that we have been made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Those Christians that maintained good works that we're going to talk about have as a possession the hope of eternal life. Yeah. Yeah. We go through things in this life. We'll talk about that. But we want to understand that as we live in this life, we also ought to live with the hope of eternal life. Because sometimes life can cause us, you know, that we turn your Bibles, let you work our Bibles this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, Paul says something in his letter to Timothy that we also ought to know, because sometimes we can allow ourselves to get caught up in life. Yeah, get caught up in the affairs of life. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse is number 4, Paul said, well, he said in verse number 3, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. All of us that are Christians, we soldiers.
Yes, sir.
We're soldiers. But he said one thing also in verse number 4. He said, no man that warreth, we're in a war with the devil. We're in a war with things that are going on in the world. He said, but no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. There have been Christians I've talked to, and I've tried to encourage them. And you may be in this place now. And they say, well, Brother Stroud, you know, I'm going through this. And I'm going through this. And right now I'm experiencing this. And I'm experiencing that. And I say, yeah, I hear you. He said, right now, Brother Stroud, I'm just trying to get things together. I'm going to come back when I get things together. And I want to say to all of us, we can't get it right without the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, so whatever you are going through in life, whatever Paul talked about, those affairs in life, sometimes we go through stuff. You know, our health, we're challenged with health problems. We're challenged with financial problems. We're challenged with relationship problems. But in all of that, Paul said, don't let yourself get caught up. Yeah, don't get to the point where I feel like I just got to miss worshiping God. Yeah. You get so caught up in life, well, I'm not just going to worship service this morning. Yeah, and I think as our brother did an excellent job on Wednesday night sharing with us, those of us, and I like to just keep before us, those of us that are healthy and that are able, we should be assembling with God. Yeah, because sometimes we use the term, and actually we use it wrongly when we say I'm providentially hindered. Now, the word providence means God provides. God don't stop you from worshiping him.
Amen.
Yeah. Don't ever say I'm providentially hindered. Now, you may be hindered, but it ain't by God.
Amen.
And I'm saying to all of us, I want to encourage us, if I'm healthy enough, I want to come out and I want to thank God. We say on that song, I want to thank God. I want to praise him if I'm able. So Paul said to them, we have to live a life understanding that, you know, sometimes I have to reflect myself and say, Pastor, I understand this here. The Lord then bless you to live 64 years. And if you give me any more, I'm going to take them. Yes, I will. Yeah, I will take them. Yeah, I got my hand out. Yeah, I want y'all to know that. Yeah, Lord said, so I, you know, we say, what's it, 3 score and?
10.
Yeah. And anytime you see the word score, that means 20. So 3 score is 3 times 20 is 60. Plus 10 is 70. That's what the text is saying. So if the God allows me to live, I also have to understand that I'm going to have to live somewhere forever. Yeah. So I just can't get locked up on what's going on here. Yeah. But I got to understand that Paul was telling them about the hope of eternal life. Each of us going to have to live somewhere forever.
That's
after this life is over. And Paul said to them, I want you to understand that you are, the word heirs means an inheritance. We have an inheritance based on our obedience, and that is the hope of eternal life. Yeah, so I want us to get us our mindset on that. And then Paul said, that's why I wanted to start there, because he said, this is a faithful saying. What saying? That's saying about the hope of eternal life. He said, this is a faithful saying. And now notice what he told Titus. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be, watch the title, careful to maintain good works. Paul said, these things are good and profitable unto man.
Yeah.
So Paul said to Titus, the word constantly means continually. So one of my responsibilities is to continually put before you the hope of eternal life.
Mm.
Yeah. And Paul said, affirm this continually, that they which have believed in God. See, sometimes our problem is we don't believe in God. Yeah, but if I believe in God, Paul said that they may maintain good works. Titus was to remind the Christians of the hope of eternal life on a continuous basis. Yeah, it benefits the Christian. As Paul said, the word profitable means beneficial. Paul said beneficial unto man. Turn your Bibles to Romans. I want to share something with us. We're talking about good works. In Romans chapter 4, Paul gives an analogy. And I want us to see the difference between what we do here and those of us that have a job, the difference between a job and here. It's a job, but it's a different type. In Romans 4 and verse number 3, get your Bibles there. I want you to see the consistency also, what Paul wrote. He said, for what said the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Yeah, see, when you believe God and you do the will of God, God counts that as righteousness. Now watch the difference here. Now, verse number 4. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of what? Of debt. Yeah. Those of us that go to work, you expect those jobs to pay you something. They owe you a debt. Yeah. Paul said that. Now, he that goes to work expects a reward. He said this reward is not grace, but this one is of debt. You go to work, you expect a paycheck. But now watch verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believe on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, the difference with us, church, is when we go to a job, we expect to get paid. We work the 40 hours, we expect to get the pay for the hour. But understand this. Everyone here that's a member of the Church of Christ at Highland Heights, we are volunteer servants.
Yeah.
I'm here because I want to be here. I'm not here to get a paycheck. I'm here to serve God. That has to be the mindset. And now I have to ask myself, if I'm here Am I volunteering myself? Yeah. Am I volunteering myself? My screen left, my brother, in the back. Audio room, my screen left. Yeah. Y'all get that back, please. So, I'm one that understands when I come here on Sunday morning, when I come on Wednesday night, I am a volunteer. Yeah, that's the mindset. I'm a volunteer. We all are volunteer. We here to serve, but we volunteering. I'm here because I want to be here. Nobody make us come. I'm come. I'm thankful to God. And I thank brother, those that I saw in the group me where I think Sister Hill, I can put you out there. How she told Brother Quincy, great message. Yeah, because what Quincy did Wednesday night, those that would listen, those that were here, thank you for being here. But Quincy, in his teaching, he let us go back and understand these doors was closed for 2 years. Not only with the pandemic, but then the flood. We had to go back, and those of us that came back, you were here because you want to be here.
Amen.
So now that we're here, let's do something for the Lord while we're here. Everybody that came back, these doors was closed.
Yes.
We didn't know when we was going to get back. Flood came. They had to tear up all the pews, take everything out. Thankful to the trustees that worked together, that had to do all that they did to get things back. Now we're back. We're assembled. But after 2 years, I'm going to talk about that.
Yes.
Yeah. Abraham believed in God. And sometimes when things are going rough in your life, it's the belief in God, it's that faith. Verse number 5. His faith is counted for righteousness. Because we're going to go through some stuff in this life. The question is, do I truly believe in God? Because if I believe in God, yeah, watch this. First Corinthians chapter 10. Show us that. First Corinthians chapter 10. Try to bless us this morning through the word of God. Notice what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Yeah. Paul said to the Corinthian church, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Paul said, Brother Stroud, what you're going through, somebody else is going through it. You're not by yourself. It's common. Yeah. So them trials you have, they... other people going through stuff. But note what he told them. He said, but God, it ain't about you, it's about God. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are. Whatever God allows on my shoulders. The Lord said, you are strong enough to handle that. Now, sometimes we give up ourselves because Paul said, but will, watch this here now, but will, with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So I'm saying to any of us, whatever you're going through, don't matter. God, Paul said, God is faithful. And so what I have to do is trust God through through his word that he can help me through. God will make a way of escape. And sometimes when we're going through stuff, we abandon God and try to do it ourselves. Yeah. Now all of a sudden, no one knows better than the Lord. Yeah. I go to the word of God and I find this. I was talking to a brother yesterday. We was out, enjoyed ourselves, to the hills. We was invited. And I think I'll share with them, I'll just say this now, we need to know this, from the standpoint that we need to support one another. Yeah, I got the invitation from David that the boys were playing. And sometimes you have to stop doing your stuff and get out. And I told him, I texted him this morning, told him, me and Sister Stroud, we enjoyed ourselves. Yeah, Sister Stroud was talking about this morning how Jonathan, when he got hit with that ball hit him, he laid on the ground. And what you gonna do? You gonna get up? Yeah. See, now if that was a mother went over there, leave my baby alone. Leave my baby alone. See, men don't work like that. Are you going to get up and play or not? Yeah. Yeah. Got up, started by catching that ball. Yeah. But I'm saying to us, when we do things, invite other people so we can get Christian support. Matter of fact, one of the, I'll just say this, one of the brothers there when David was talking to me, he told one of the coaches, he said, but now, when I'm not here, this is why I have different things to do, because this is our minister of our congregation, our church. He said, man, I need to get back in church. Uh-oh. Uh-huh. I checked my pocket. Uh-oh, let me go back. Went to the car, went back over there. Craig, I want to give you, here's an invite to come worship with us. We have to take opportunities. He said, I've left the church. I need to get back in the church. Well, you ain't got to look no more. Amen. I'm going to do my part.
That's right.
Yeah. And I'm saying to all of us, anytime we're doing anything, if there's an opportunity to invite someone, we don't necessarily, we call the word evangelize when they hear the word, but we can invite them to worship God. Right. But I'm saying that to say that we got to encourage one another. And stop living in your own little shell. Some of us don't do nothing with nobody that's a Christian, but every time I see you with somebody in the world, something wrong with that picture. When I don't enjoy being around other Christians. Amen, somebody. I'm just telling us that we're going to go through stuff, but understand God is there with us. Paul said, but avoid foolish questions, genealogies, and contentions, and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Paul said sometime what he was referring to was the Jewish history. Yeah. He said, but avoid foolish questions, and genealogies mean a Jewish history, and arguments, and fighting about the law. He said, for that's unprofitable and it's vain. And let me say this to us today. For this can, this, even though he said it then, it can apply to 2023. Let us not use cultural history to dislike or hate another race of people. Yeah. Because of earlier laws, segregation, and we hold that against people. So this can apply to us too. We're allowing law, old law, Jim Crow, and all these laws to make me hate another people. That's wrong. Yeah, so even though it's written in, that can apply to us today. Whenever we start arguing about racism and all that kind of stuff, not that it ain't going on, but we got to conduct ourselves as Christians even during these times. Yeah, there's still going to be situations, circumstances you're going to be involved in, and people are going to look at you and judge you based on the pigmentation of your skin. Yeah. But we want to understand that inside of that skin is a Christian that knows how to conduct themselves. So Paul said, don't let that hold you up. And he said, when it comes to that type of person, he said, a man that is a heretic after the first or second admonition reject. He said, now you got somebody, the word heretic means causing division. Paul said, after the first and set, the word admonition means to put in someone's mind to correct their behavior. Paul said, after the first or second, he said, now you have to refuse them. Questions and practices not taught in scripture can cause division and should be rejected. Sometimes we argue about stuff that ain't even salvation. Members, we get hung up on stuff that has no salvation to it. Don't mean it ain't good to learn, but I shouldn't get to the point I get bent out of shape because of something. Yeah. And in my preaching, you know, I preach the word of God based on my study and what I believe. That doesn't mean you agree with it. I respect that. But I try to give book, chapter, and verse so I can refer you to, what, Brother Stroud, why is your mindset like that? Yeah. It comes from scripture that is given to everybody. But he said, be careful with people. And sometimes you have members that like to cause division in the church. Yeah, warn them once or twice, then I got to let you go, brother. All you want to do is argue and fuss. Yeah. Sometimes sisters come here, sister too, come here, all you want to do is argue and fuss. You don't want to get along. Paul said, regarding that person, knowing that he that is such is subverted, not converted, subverted, and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When you got a person that's not living the way of salvation, Paul says here, that person sinned, and what he's doing is condemning himself. Here. So we got to notice we are converted. Yeah. Don't be perverted. Nor subverted, but be converted. How? Through the word of God. Paul talks about that. Notice he said, and we need to understand this, Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. This is a short letter. Romans 16. Know what Paul says concerning someone that caused division. Verse 17, Romans 16, 17. Paul says, now I beseech ye, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and notice he said, and do what?
Avoid
them. Yeah. When someone is causing division and they're teaching something that's not consistent with the word of God, Paul shares with us, how do you go to brother in love? You know, brother, what you are saying, what you're teaching is not sound. Yeah. You weren't taught this. And if the person don't change, Paul said, do what? Avoid them. Yeah. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies. Some people come here and they got their own agenda. He said, and by good words and fair speeches, deceive the heart of the simple. And that's why I try to say what the word simple means. Anytime I preach something, have your Bibles and investigate what I preach.
Amen.
And you have a right to question anything I preach. Brother Stroud, give me book, chapter, and verse for that. And it's my responsibility in an humble and meek way to say, sister, here's a text from which I draw that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have a right. Yeah. You have to just trust it, and I have to share with you what God has said. Amen?
Amen.
And then Paul closed the letter. He said, when I shall send Artemis to thee, or Tychicus, he said, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Paul said, I'm going to stay here. I'm getting old and I can't be, you know, it's getting cold out there. Yeah, it's cold out there and I'm going to stay right here. Yeah, Paul said, I'm going to be here till the winter. I'm staying right here. He said, now I want you to do something. He said, bring Zenaeus, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. He said, now bring them with you. They bring the lawyer with you. Bring Apollos, we know, was one that was with Paul during that time. He was with Paul. And 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul said, the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 3:6, he was a co-laborer with Paul. And Paul said, as I close, I'm sorry. I didn't put it up. Yeah. He says, verse 14, and let ours also learn. Watch this here now. He repeating what he said before. Let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Yeah, the life of a Christian is a life of service. Yeah, Paul said, reminded him as he closed the letter, that they also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that you be not unfruitful. Then he said, all that are with me salute thee. He said, greet them with love that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. He said, amen. So when I talk about being, he said the word unfruitful, a couple of things I want us to look at this morning, because we're talking about motivating us to serve God. In Revelation chapter 3 and the verses number 15, Jesus was talking about the church of the Laodiceans. So he's speaking to this church congregationally. Jesus said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. He said, I would thou wert cold or hot. As I reflected on Brother Quincy's teaching on Wednesday night, Highland Heights, God knows what we've been through. God knows that. Also, Paul said, God knows the works here at Highland Heights. Paul said, Jesus talking to John in this text. Jesus told John to tell the church at Laodicea that God would that you would be cold or hot. Now, the context cold here, because God uses cold or hot as a positive. Jesus did. So cold here means, you know how sometimes when you drink a cool, cold glass of water, it just refreshes you. So one thing the Lord says, I would that you were refreshing, a refreshing congregation. Not only that, he said the word hot means to be boiling on fire and zealous for the Lord. So God is saying, I would that this congregation will be the cold, refreshing, or they be on fire. He said, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, God said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now the word spew is figuratively, the word spew means to vomit. The Lord is saying to us, as well as he said to the Laodicea congregation, don't be lukewarm. Because if you are, the Lord says, I'll spew you out of your mouth. What does lukewarm mean, Brother Stroud? Glad you asked that question. The word lukewarm means warm. Yeah. is used metaphorically as not being enthusiastic, not having or showing energy or excitement. When I come here every Lord's Day, I ought to come with enthusiasm. I ought to come with energy. I ought to come with excitement. Why? Because I don't want to be lukewarm.
Amen. Amen.
And so as a congregation, let us look at ourselves and see where we are. Are we enthusiastic when we come here? Yeah, because when I'm enthusiastic, I want to get here early so I can fellowship with people. Yeah, and I'm not just coming here to listen to worship service and get out of here. No. I want to be what the Lord wants me to be. Yeah, have enthusiasm and energy, excitement. Where does that come from? How does that come? Yeah, Paul said this in Romans 12. He said, I beseech ye, brethren, therefore, brethren. Now, he's talking to them as a congregation, but it also can be applied individually. He said, notice what he used. I'm begging you, buy something. By the mercies of God. What do you mean, Brother Straub? I'm saying to each of us, even to myself, when I look back on how merciful God has been to me, when I look at what God has brought me through, Paul said to them, I'm coming to you by what God has done for you.
Amen.
By the mercies of God. That what, Paul? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice animals that were unblemished, and they would offer them to God. Now, Paul was saying to them that you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Let me share some of that. Go to Romans chapter. Get your Bible. Let me show you this. So sometime when we read the Word of God, why did Paul say that in Romans 12? Go to Romans chapter 1. See, that's why sometimes I share with church. Sometime when you have your time, just sit down and read the whole letter. Because sometimes what Paul did in his writing, he would tell you something later that he talked about earlier. Romans chapter 1. Show you that. Now, notice what he said here. That you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Am I right? Now, watch why he said that. Why did he say that, Brother Straub? Because in Romans chapter 1. Now, watch how this connects. The Bible says, and I'm going to start at verse number 22, Romans 1:22. Because sometimes we can start thinking that we know it all and we wise. Watch this text now. So I want you to see why he said in 12 what he told them about in Romans 1. Because remember now, man put chapter and verses, but Paul wrote a letter to them. And in verse 22, he said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men and to birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. Watch verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up. God will let you go to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own what? Between who? Yeah. That's the connection. What they were doing in verse number 20, well, I'll just read it. It's good reading anyway. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. For this cause God, again, gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was fit. Yeah, men start sleeping with men. Yeah. That's why when you get to Romans 12, Paul said, now change, stop doing that with your body. You all, you men that left the natural use of a woman, now you men are getting together. That's why when he got to Romans 12, Paul said, now I want you to present your body again. But this time, it's holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yeah. That's why Paul said that in Romans 12. Sometimes, like I say, when Paul writes, he will say things later on that he mentioned earlier. So that's why he say that, because they was around here, men sleeping with each other. And you can still sleep with, you can sleep with a woman if she ain't your wife, you still in sin. Let me say that. Yeah, because whatever I do, I got to do it in consistency with the will of God.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. So now, watch this here. The word reasonable, that word, yeah, is service, but the service is done by reasoning, by thinking, by understanding. So what Paul was telling them, say, look here, God, you all that are serving God, you got the reason. You got to understand when I wrote the letter in 1 Corinthians 7 that men should marry a woman.
Right.
Yeah. Men don't be, men not sleeping with men. You got a reason based on the word of God. See, I got to go into Romans chapter 1 and read in verse number 7 where the Lord said, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Paul said, now, you all ask me some questions. Let me deal with the question. One of the questions you asked me about a man and a woman. Paul said, let me deal with that. He said, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife to the husband. So when Paul was writing them, I got the reason based on the word of God. The word of God teaches me I can't touch a woman unless I marry that woman. Anything outside that is sin. And to avoid fun, that ain't the only reason you get married. Yeah. But that's what he mean when he say reasoning. I got to think, I got to get an understanding of the word of God, that the word of God directs me. So what do you do, Brother Stroud, for the brother that may have homosexual tendencies? What do you do with that brother? You teach them what God said.
Amen.
You don't hate nobody. We all sin.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And because they sin with another man, ain't no different than you sinning with another woman. That ain't your wife, same thing. So you teach them, brother, I understand, I want to share with you. God made them. Well, how you teach them? Man, watch this here. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Yeah, you know, Brother Stroud, I just like men. I understand that. I understand what you're saying, but understand this. In Matthew chapter 19, when Jesus was teaching, he said in Matthew 19:4, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read? See, you got to start reading. That's one of our problems. Sometimes we don't read. He said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his and they shall be. Yeah, so you got to teach that brother. You don't hate nobody. Yeah. So we all have passions and desires that's not consistent with the will of God. But we need somebody to, that's what reasonable means. You reason. You teach the person. Man, God made a male and a female.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you got parents raising their children, and the children say, I think, a boy saying, I think I feel like a girl. And if you're not careful, the parents who are not a Christian, you know, I know when I was growing up, when you was a boy, if they caught you with a baby doll, they caught you with a baby doll. Because sometimes you got little boys want to play with the baby doll. No. You go over there and get them army men. Yeah. Race car. I'm saying, boys did boys' thing. But when you start letting boys start, and the minds drift. Yeah. But it's all, that's why, like I say, I use an example sometimes. I remember Sister Lush used to ask me, that's why when you watch Charlie Brown, when I used to watch Charlie Brown, you say, why is Lionel always walking around with that dirty blanket on his shoulder? You know, he walk around and that dirt be coming all behind him. Say, you say, why? Because the one thing you never see on the peanuts, you ain't got no parents. Because if he had a parent, boy, put that thing in the washing machine. That make sense? That's why God gave children parents, so you can raise them upright based on the word of God. Boy, put that blanket in the washing machine. Matter of fact, you get in the washing machine. Because if you've been holding it that long, he probably smells just like that blanket. Everybody get in there. Yeah, I mean, when I was little, we would go out there. I'm talking about me now. We would go out there, and I would come back home, and my mother would tell her, boy, you smell just like a puppy. Yeah. Back then, they would take, and they would, you know, back then, they ain't have all that stuff they have now. She just get in that tub and just put a little bleach in there. I'm just telling you. Yeah, I got to cut that odor.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Let me get back to my text.
So the point I'm making is that with anyone in any situation, we as a Christian can always teach them. You don't down nobody because of choices they've made in life. We all have made choices that's not consistent with God. But what Paul was saying here, once somebody teach me the word of God and I get to understand the word of God, now I offer myself holy, and the word acceptable means pleasing to God. Yeah. So, one, let us as a congregation not be lukewarm. My time is expired. Number two, let us offer ourselves. And then the last point I want to make here. In 2 Corinthians 8:5, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you look there, I just want you to see the dynamics of verse 5. To read 2 Corinthians 8, and I want you to see verse 1 and 2. Where Paul said, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia. He was talking about how the church in Corinth, he said, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So now, I want us to understand, when I get to verse 5, I want you to know that these people Paul was talking about, they were going through some stuff. And he didn't say they were just poverty. They were in deep poverty. Yeah. They were poor. They didn't have much. But notice what they did. They still had joy. See, you can be poor and still have joy. Yeah. Because I don't look at life based on my circumstances and situations. I look at life based on how the Lord see me. So when he got to verse number 5, he said, and this they did. Paul said, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So I'm saying to each of us this morning, I'm trying to motivate us. Congregationally, let us not be lukewarm. Understand now, Romans 12, I'm going to present my body as a sacrifice to the Lord. And whatever, now, my health may be going down, so I may present only what I have. Yeah, because as we get older, sometimes we can't do all the things we want to do. Amen? Yeah, but whatever way I can serve God with my body. Sometimes you'll be amazed how just calling somebody, encouraging them. Yeah. Sending someone a card, you know, letting them know you're thinking about them is a source of encouragement. But Paul said, what these Christians did, and what me and you have to do, we have to give ourselves to the Lord. That's it. Give ourselves to the Lord. And then Paul said, then they gave themselves unto us. Whatever work needed to be done, we're going to work. Holland Heights. We're going to have a ministry meeting. I'm closing on this. We need everybody, Brother Floyd would like to say, we need everybody oars in the water. Sometimes the problem with congregations is it happens with giving and it happens with service. Oftentimes you have 15 to 20% of the people getting 80% of the giving, and the other 80% maybe not doing nothing. Not only that happens in giving, it happens in service too. We got men in this congregation. We need you to step up, each one of us. We're going to have a brothers' meeting next Saturday. We want every brother, if you're not working, we need you there. We need you there. You need to make a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Sacrifice some of your time for the Lord. We got enough people here to do all we want to do for the Lord right here at Highland Heights. We got enough people. We just need the people to get involved. One of our presidents once said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your. Sometimes it's not about asking what Highland Heights can do for you. What can we, including myself, do for Highland Heights? Amen. We got enough people here to do all we want to do in this community. That's right. We need us to be on fire for the Lord. Right. We're finna have a congregational meeting. And I'm asking for everyone. I'm appealing. Everyone, stay here. Let's learn about these ministries so we can get involved. We're going to spend this month learning about ministries, get you knowledgeable of how the ministries are so you can select the ministry that you want to serve in. And everybody can do something for the Lord. If you're here today, apologize for going over a little bit on my time. But if you're here today, you're not a Christian. Again, that hope of eternal life no one can have until they obey the Lord. What I need to do to obey the Lord, Brother Stroud? Number one, you need to hear the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. You need to hear three facts. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You must believe that. Okay, Brother Stroud, I do believe that. It's in the Bible. Now, I must not only hear it and believe it, I must repent of my sin. What do you mean, Brother Stroud? That lifestyle you've been living, you've been living without God. You need to turn to God and His Word. Okay? Now, you need to come up here this morning, make the confession. I believe, found in Acts 8:37, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And after you make that confession, we're going to water baptize you for every sin that you've ever done. God will forgive you. No matter what your lifestyle has been, God will forgive you. Now, you are a Christian. You are now justified in God's eyesight. Why? Because of your obedience. Or if there's someone that needs to respond to the message in any way, shape, or form. I don't know, you know, what's going on with you, but if you need to respond to the message, we're going to bid you to come as we together stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. to be a Christian.